I'll be honest with you. I just want to lay hands on people and pray in tongues over people this morning. But I've got a word that I want to take a few minutes and release. My prayer this morning was real, real hard. God, let me be a good communicator this morning. It wasn't God anoint me or this or this or this. It was just God, let me be a good communicator this morning. Because I want to communicate to you the way Holy Spirit communicated with me on this and this journey that I'm on. In this stuff, and I'm just had a phenomenal evening with the Lord last night from about 10:30 until about 1 a.m. Just tremendous time with the Lord, and I want to convey some of that to you this morning. Let's turn to Jeremiah 18 for just a second. We're going to jump out of that. Jeremiah 18. I've got just a couple of announcements that I want to make. I want to read a card here from Cynthia Tomlin and Leroy and their family. It says, Victory Fellowship family, thank you does not seem adequate enough to how much we appreciate your prayers, phone calls, food, flowers, and visits during the loss of my mother. May you be blessed for the love you have shown my family and loving Christ, Leroy and Cynthia, and family of Judy Bailey. So y'all just continue to lift up Cynthia at the passing of her mom, and just we love you guys, and just appreciate y'all so much, and just celebrate what God is doing and what He's going to do in y'all's lives, and so we stand with you guys. You know, so many people are going through different things in their life, and we just stand and we just lock arms. You know, I was talking with Aaliyah last night, and we were just talking about stuff and everything, and this is before I had a really good evening with the Lord. The reason that I do, I had my great time with the Lord last night. I had my great time with the Lord last night, but you know what this morning's about? This morning's about corporate and about the people that come in here. Anytime you think you don't need church, it's extremely short-sighted, I believe, because this is a vehicle that God chose. This is the vehicle that God chose in His Word to impact culture. And I can encounter God, and I do encounter God in my private times. And there are things that I can get in my private time I can't get in corporate. But there's also things that happen in corporate that cannot happen in my private. And so I celebrate both. But that's why I'm here today. Today's not about me. Today's about y'all. And today's not about you. It's about the others that come in and the visitors that come in. We had a ladies meeting. The ladies had ladies meeting Thursday night. And I want to thank all the ladies that work hard to make that stuff happen. Because it doesn't just happen. And I want to thank the ladies that work hard at making that happen. And I think Lori and Errol told me we had like 50 ladies come Thursday night, which is tremendous, tremendous evening. I want to thank all of the young ladies that took care of the nursery and helped with the kids. I know y'all were getting service hours, but we appreciate it. It freed mamas up where they could come in and just soak in the presence of the Lord. But Ariel told me we had probably about as many visitors as we did Victory ladies on Thursday night. And Ariel told me that without exception, she said, everyone I knew, she said, I didn't know all the visitors, but she said every visitor that I knew came up to me afterwards and was talking about how awesome it was and saying, when are y'all going to do this again? They said, it was just what I needed. Man, I needed that so much. And so what they were doing was, and what you're doing is you create an atmosphere. You create an atmosphere where people can come in and encounter God. So it's not about you coming in and having your time with God, Tyler. It's about you coming in and facilitating and hosting a presence so that people that are coming in, and maybe they don't know God, and maybe they're distant from God, maybe they're hurting, maybe they're going through all kinds of junk, they can encounter God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do what we do. That's why we gather together. That's why God created this vehicle. That's why we create this atmosphere, because every Wednesday night when 50 of the Blake House guys show up, they need to feel and experience and encounter God. I can't tell you how many of them through the years, guys, have come to me from the Blake House afterwards or at an event like we're going to have Wednesday night, and they'll say, man, I've never been in church before until I got to the Blake. I've never been in church before until I got to the Blake House. Never stepped foot in a church before, and I came in here and I radically felt God's love. And that's because you helped host the presence of the Holy Spirit that creates an atmosphere. And that's what people need, an encounter with God. And so that's why we host it well for those guys. In saying that, Wednesday night is our Thanksgiving dinner. And two things on that. I'm kind of hitting announcements and kind of spiritually encouraging, undergirding you as well. Wednesday night's our Thanksgiving dinner. And so if I can, all you guys, if y'all can hang, if any way possible, if y'all can hang out for a few minutes after church and just help us move chairs and bring tables in. That way Lori and Errol don't have to move, you know, 200 chairs and bring in 25 tables. If we can get that knocked out, then they can decorate. But if we can get that knocked out, so all you guys, man, y'all help out on that stuff, and let's step up on that. Wednesday night, man, I want to encourage everybody. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. Blake House will be with us, and so we're going to have 50 guys that can sure enough eat. So everybody please come. And I want to ask you a couple different things. Ladies, this is maybe not as applicable to you as it is to guys, but all of you guys, as y'all come, interact with the Blake House guys. Don't spend the evening. Nick, me and you don't need to spend the evening sitting around. It's okay if we do a few minutes, but we don't need to spend an hour and a half Wednesday night sitting around talking about our ski trips that are coming up. We can do that on another day. Spend a few moments and try to connect with one of these guys and interact with one of these guys and let them know that, you know what, you're a person. And I see you. And God sees you. Find out their story. They love to tell their story. Find out their story so you can pray for them. Find out their story so you can encourage them. And I really want to encourage you guys to do that, okay? Because we're bad about huddling up in our groups. And me and Courtney talking about how many bucks we saw chasing does. And y'all talking about either the glory of last night or the tragedy of last night on the football games. And all of that stuff. And we miss an opportunity. We miss an opportunity. We miss an opportunity. And I miss some opportunities with these guys, and it hurts me when I do. It hurts me when I do. And I want us to get that right. So Wednesday night, everybody remember that? Everybody show up and bring some food. We're doing, the church is providing the hams and the turkeys. But please don't show up with your family of six and have one little bowl of green beans. Can I get an amen from somebody? Thank you. Them boys can eat. What's up, brother? How you doing? Good to see you again today. Amen. Don't show up with your family of six with one little bowl of green beans, okay? Man, let's come. And if we have leftover, say, well, I never know how much to bring. Bring a lot. And if we have leftover, we'll send it with them. Okay? All right. Everybody receive that gloriously? Yeah. All right. I want y'all to get fired up about kingdom life. Not only kingdom life, but about kingdom ministry and kingdom service. I want y'all to get fired up about that. I want y'all to get so fired up about the gifting that God's put in your life and what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life that you're coming to me and you're coming to Ariel and say, man, what can I do to help in the church? Where can I teach? You say, I'm not a teacher. I bet money you can teach three-year-olds. Where can I help? Where can I teach? What can I do? How can I serve? I pray that y'all get so fired up about kingdom life and kingdom service that we're inundated with people that say, man, I just want to serve. Tell me what to do. Tell me what I can do. Amen. I pray your life groups are inundated with that. That where it's like, man, everybody's bringing too much food. I can't get them to leave. They just want to hang out and pray and visit and fellowship and share life together and all of that stuff. You know, I have to run them off and all that. I pray that it gets like that. Amen. With that being said, everybody good on everything now? I hadn't lost anybody? All right. I want us to take just a few, and there's no way I'll finish all of this and get all this. I want us tonight or this morning to take a look at Mary and Peter. I want to spend about 3 or 4 minutes and just give you a little of overview of where we are. I've been looking at... God's really carried me into looking at transforming into a life of true worship. I've been doing a series for a while now on what worship looks like and what true worship is and the different aspects of worship. And at the end of the day, I believe that the compilation of my life should look like, that's what a great worship song looks like. If they can write, they could sit and they could look at my life and there could be, wouldn't have to be anything penned. I love that one verse a while ago when it says, when the rocks cry out in silence. There doesn't have to be a ballad about Sid Garner, but my life in itself was a song. That my life in itself was a praise. My life in itself was a uplifting, glorifying thing to heaven. And that I declared in splendor with my life that I lived, just as much splendor as the sunsets that we love so much and the sunrises that a few of us see. And that is just as glorious as that is. I believe that as we live our life in its place of fruition and fruitfulness, that is what worship should look like. I really want to encourage you this morning, some of you guys that are, and I shared this with Michelle, but I really want to encourage you guys, some of you guys that sometimes you look around and you're like, daggone, man, just, you know, the old saying that 10% of the people do 90% of the work and that 10% of the people do 90% of the giving and all, those adages tend to be true. But I want to encourage you, if you look and you feel like sometimes you're the 10% and you get discouraged because what other people are not doing. In the parables that Jesus talked about the sower, you know how much of the seed actually produced fruit? 25%. That was not the seed that was scattered. That was the seed that was received. Of the seed that was received, only 25% produced fruit, Nick. Of that, only a small percentage produced 100-fold, which is, I believe, what God wants our lives to produce is the 100-fold. So I want to encourage you, and don't get caught up in the trap at looking at what others are not doing, and you just do what God's stirring and moving in your life, and you be faithful in that. I want to encourage you guys in that. Because I want to tell you something. We can sit around and we can say, God, this person ain't doing this, and I feel like I'm the only one, and man, nobody helps me clean up after this event. Nobody helps me plan this event, and nobody does this, and I take a whole week vacation, and I spend time doing the trailer treats, and nobody, you know, they don't appreciate it and all of that stuff. And the enemy has tried to sneak in and say that. At least he says it to me. Maybe I'm weak. We had a photographer email us, and she brought her daughter to the Trail of Treats, and she emailed us, and she said, I was so moved by how beautiful that was down there and what y'all have done down there. She said, can I do some portraits down there? Can I do some photo shoots down there? You know what that is when we do that? You know what that is, Chris? That's worship. When you're doing those trails, I actually got my stuff up this week. Feathering my cap. You didn't even have to call me three times. That's worship. And I want our lives as we walk things out and we do these things, that it makes such a mark on people that they walk away and they say, when are we doing our next ladies meeting? If we're not careful, we'll fall into the thing where, you know what, our ladies will say, God, we got a ladies meeting this week. Just something else on my calendar. And you got visitors saying, how soon are you going to do another one? They may never get plugged into this church. They may never supposed to be get plugged into this church. But I guarantee you, we're supposed to host the presence so much when they do come, they encounter God. So I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you in your life that it's glorious. That your life's extraordinary. I want to live an extraordinary life. I want to have extraordinary adventures. It's not just what I can see and do and all that stuff. I want to have extraordinary adventures in the kingdom, Brett. I want to do the other stuff too. Man, I got so much I want to do. I'm just getting started. When I get semi-retired, y'all just wait. But I want to live an extraordinary life. But I want my life at the end of it not to say, man, he did a lot of cool stuff. I want my life at the end of it to say, that is what man fully alive looks like. That's what worship looks like before God. Because I said when we started this thing on worship that God's design, the ultimate design for man, is to be God's expression of himself here on earth. That's the blueprint of what your life's supposed to look like, brother. Is that your life is supposed to be God's expression of himself here on the earth. He created Adam and Eve and he said, let us make man in our image. And when he was when Adam was naming all the animals and all of that stuff, the animals really couldn't differentiate between God and Adam. When he called the hippopotamus, and God was like, "That's a good name." The hippopotamus didn't look at God and say, "Really? This chump's going to name me?" He's like, "All right, thank you, God." And he wants us, he designed us to be his expression. And I want my love to be his expression. That's one reason I love that verse in that song. Did Jesus die 8 billion times on the cross, or did he die once on the cross? You know what the answer is? Yes. Did he die 8 billion times or once? Yes. And I love that. And he said, if you love these 8 billion reasons, these 8 billion reasons you hung on the cross, so will I. And if your expression, your voice was a masterpiece, so will I. I want mine to be that. I want the things that come out of my life, not to, that come out of my mouth, not to be angry or selfish or even hurt or narcissistic or things like that. I want it to be glorious, and I want it to release life into people. I don't want to dog you out. I want to release life into you. Because I want you to be God's masterpiece. If people ask me about the gospel, you know what I want to be able to say? Brett House, tell me a great story. Nick White, tell me about the redemptive power of God. Chris Meacham. They don't get it if I turn into Habakkuk and say, "Let me tell you what the Word says." But they get it when I point to a life and say, "That's what redemption looks like. That's what glory looks like." You have no idea how many times I use you as an object lesson in talking to people. Because a lot of people know you. I'm serious. I'll talk to a lot of people in this area and all of that stuff, and it is mind-boggling. As I kind of think back on it, it's mind-boggling how many times I say, "Well, Brett House." And it's good. It's not bad. It's good. I say, "Well, Brett House." "Well, Nick White." That's what God designed your life to look like. Something that just glorifies Him. You guys got engaged in Yosemite a while back, and we were talking briefly before church the splendor and the glory of it, and good props, you know, for asking Lori to marry you up on Half Dome. That's cool, man. That's awesome. But we look out there, and I've been out there in the snowfall, and it's just glorious and it's beautiful. But when God looks at His masterpiece and tries to explain Himself to the world and tries to explain Himself to heaven, to the created beings, He does not point to El Capitan or Half Dome or Bridal Falls or any of those places that are out there. You know what He points to when He wants to show heaven what His masterpiece really looks like? He points to us. You thought about that? Points to us. He didn't point to beautiful animals. He didn't point to just awesome creation out there. The created beings and all, and they say, "I want to see your fullness, God." And He said, "Look at Kenny Buddy." You say, "That's ridiculous. Have you seen my life?" It's because you're looking at it from your perspective and not His perspective. You're looking at it from your perspective and not His perspective. And so in this, in Jeremiah, I'm getting way behind here. We'll just hit what we can and we'll catch some more next week. God carried Jeremiah down to the potter's house and He said, "Let me show you something." He said, "I'm going to carry you down there and show you something so you can hear my words." And in verse 3 it said, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. He made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Quickly just reading some notes. The vision of the potter's house, the vessel was not suitable for the need of the potter. So he remade it into what he needed. It wasn't suitable for what he needed, so he remade it into what he needed. A while ago I was encouraging you guys, don't come with a little bowl of green beans. Because there's a bunch of hungry men that's going to be here, not to mention our church body. If you're at home and Nick, you're cooking green beans and it's just you and that don't happen. Jamie, if you're at home, you're cooking green beans. A little bowl is adequate, right? You don't have to have a ton. Judah's not 13 yet. He's not eating you out of house and home yet. Getting close, but just wait. I'm just saying, just wait. But as things progress and all of a sudden you say, this is fine for home. That's what I'm used to cooking. But now, in the aspect of what's going on, it's inadequate. And so now you're required, I mean that in a loving way, you're encouraged to bring a sacrifice or an offering that is suitable for what's in front of you. And we come in and we say, this little bowl was good Tuesday night. Well, it's not suitable for today. It was good for this, but it's not suitable for today. And so what God constantly has to do in our life, He has to remake it and remake it and remake it and remake it. I love a phrase, and I stopped in the middle of worship just so I could write this down. And it talked about creation, and it says, evolving in pursuit of what you said. Let that sink in. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. That's your faith journey. Don't get hung up on the Darwin stuff. But your life is to evolve in pursuit of what He said about you. And if I get hung up on my fourth grade level, then I am nothing but unfulfilled potential. I'm convinced that the majority of humanity lives a mediocre lifestyle by choice and by design. But I'm equally as convinced that God created no one to live a mediocre lifestyle. I think we come in and we become satisfied or we settle for living a substandard life in comparison to what He created us for. So we should look in this. And we should be evolving in pursuit of what He said. Now this is a proactive thing on my part. I should be pursuing to become what God created me to be. I should be pursuing what God created me to be. I should be pursuing what God created me to be. Pursuing to become that. I look and I see people and they get frustrated in their faith and they get frustrated in their life and they feel like, man, heaven's just shut up and I'm not getting fed anymore. And I have people tell that to me all the time as a pastor. I'm just not getting fed anymore and all that. God may be trying to wean you off the tit. So you can grow up. They come in and they want to blame me and say, I'm not getting fed anymore. Well, it might be God cutting off the tit so you can grow up and you can start being in pursuit of becoming what God... I ain't holding nothing back today, baby. I know she's going to get me later on. She's like, oh gosh, here we go. I felt like the Lord spoke that to me. You have no idea how many people through the years have come in and said, I just ain't getting fed no more at Victory. I ain't getting fed no more with your word. And they usually ain't got the guts to tell me that. They'll just say, I'm just not getting fed anymore and all that stuff. So might be God, because God's trying to get you off the tip so you start pursuing what He created you to become. You know why I had radical encounter with God last night? Because I pulled myself away from the football games. I pulled myself away from the TV. I pulled myself away from my iPhone. And I said, God, I'm going to pursue encounter with You. So I locked myself alone and said, God, I told Lori, I said, see you later. And I went up into a place and said, God, I want to have an encounter with you. Take me into your word. And so he allowed me to feed myself in him. Evolving in pursuit of what you said. And if I'm going to have an extraordinary life, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be by God's grace, and it's going to be God's mercy, and it's going to be God's calling, and it's going to be God's design, but it's going to be by my pursuit of staying on the wheel, staying in His hands, and say, God, remake me, remake me, remake me, remake me, remake me. We come in and we're like, God, just... That's what a baby calf does. You know what's jacked up? It's when I've got calves out there nursing their mom, and they're big as their mama, Leroy. And she's pregnant with something else. You know what that's doing? That's robbing from the other one that's coming along. I'm in the process of weaning all of them right now because it's their age to be weaned. Me and Lori been cowboying up lately because we've been weaning calves and taking them off their mama and selling the right ones and all of that stuff. And you wonder what's going on in your life. It's God's grace to try to get you off the tent. Is that okay if I say that in church? I don't know. I'm a farmer. That's an agrarian term. Teat. I've already said it 6 times. I'll be proper and we'll call it teat. I just said it 8 times. Probably say it 14 more before we're through. That's not God being mean to you, and that's not me not being able to provide for you. That's God's grace in your life. That's God's grace in your life. Evolving in pursuit of what you said about me. Let me read a couple more notes on the back. We may not get past the review. What if the focus or divine purpose of that item changed? Why does God always want to have me on the potter's wheel? Why does He want to keep remaking me? Because the divine purpose of this thing changed. And if my life, the divine purpose of my life is not constantly evolving, then I am a stagnant pool. And He's constantly wanting to evolve your life and change your life, the divine purpose of your life, Amber. If not, then you're still, in terms of what I used the other day, you're still a sippy cup. Did I talk about the sippy cup last week? Maybe I did, or Wednesday night, sometime or another. Zealand loves his green Ninja Turtle sippy cup. But in a few years, it'll be insulting to him if I pour him a glass of tea and it's in a Ninja Turtle sippy cup. He'd be like, I'm a big boy, Poppy. I don't need this sippy cup anymore. I need something. He takes the top off. I don't want y'all to think, but he still likes the cup because it's got Raphael on it with a sword or nunchucks or something. So that's cool. But I guarantee if Brett came over and I served him with that, he would be offended. He'd be like, what are you trying to say, Sid? Give me a red Solo cup or something. But when God starts weaning us off of these things, I didn't say it, when He starts weaning us off of these things, then we become offended with Him and those around us. God says, this is my grace. This is you on the wheel. And I want to make it again new because the purpose is changing. I love the evolution in my life right now. I love the evolution in my life right now. I love the different challenges that God's asking and requiring and changing in me. I like the things that He's throwing out there. So you're going to accept this and are you going to step up to this? And I know it's Him having me on the wheel. He's doing it in my finances right now. And He's asking for more, and He's chasing me when I'm not. He's whipping me when I'm not tipping enough, Brett. And I'll tip 15-18%. I had a guy do something for me the other day, and I when he left, I was like, I didn't tip him enough. You know what that is? That's God making me into another vessel. About 6 months ago, he told me to increase my tithe by 25%. That's a pretty big jump at one time. He said, don't you increase your tithe by 25%. So you know what I did? I increased my tithe by 25%. Tithe, offering, whatever. It started out offering. You know what it is now? Now it's tithe. Somebody latch hold of that. Somebody latch hold of that. It may start out as offering, but as the blessings come, then it becomes tithe. You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for him to ask me to increase it by another 25%. Why y'all get quiet when we talk about money? I pray he does the same thing for you, Gordon. I pray he comes in. I pray that will you take up money so I can't. I better not say nothing to her because she'll be wanting a raise. She works for me. She said, I'll tithe if you'll, you know, more if you'll increase my salary. Because I can't wait, and I pray, T.W., that you start stretching you like that with your finances. Then he'll come in and say, all right, here's what I want out of you, T.W., is I want you to start doing this. I want you to start giving this. And you're like, well, Lord, wait a minute. And it might be an offering to start with, but you know what it will become? It will become tithe. And then he'll stretch you out of that, and you'll say, okay, it's offering again, but that'll become tithe. Y'all following me on this? This is the evolving of us as individuals. We're supposed to be the lenders and not the borrowers. Come on, somebody. And today isn't about money. It's about God keeping you on the wheel and making you again new. For the sake of time, man, I've got to get there. I want us to think about Mary for just a moment. Y'all turn in your Bible to Luke 10 real quick. I'm going to read this as you're turning. As our vessel changes and progresses, our sacrifice must as well. As our vessel changes and progresses, our sacrifice must as well. What I gave God last year may be unfit for today. I want to say that again. What I gave God last year may be unfit for today. If you've been coming here 6 months and you're still just a church attender, I'll help you out a little bit. I believe that's an unfit sacrifice. If all you do is show up and put a check in the bank, in the thing up there, if you do that, I believe that's an unfit sacrifice if you've been here any period of time at all. Jeffrey's the only one amen me on that. I believe that. You want God to rock your world? You want God to start opening up doors? You want gifts to start releasing? You want cracks to start coming out and the well springing up in you? Then let God stretch you. I'm trying to say, man, some of y'all are on the sidelines and you ain't got no business being on the sidelines. Because there's too much in you. I don't say that to shame you. I say that to encourage you because I see greatness in you. Because God sees greatness in you. God sees your faith evolving. Listen, you stood up here Thursday night and you ministered to 50 women. 2 years ago, you couldn't do that. Not the way you did Thursday night. A year ago, you couldn't do that. Not the way you did Thursday night. I didn't listen to it yet, but I know. You know why I wanted to pray for you this morning? Because I so love your heart. I'm going to tell y'all something about Michelle. If there's ever need and anybody asks Michelle to do it, you know what she does? She'll just step up and say, I'll do it. Tell me where. Tell me how much. Tell me when. You don't just show up here and say, what can I do to facilitate the presence of God to impact others? What can I do that my life looks glorious to Him? I want to challenge y'all. I want to encourage y'all. And that's why God wanted me to pray for you and to pour into you and to just to say, God, whack her out today. Because there's strength that's needed for that. But I love that heart of yours. Man, what can I do? You need me to teach this? I'll teach. You need me to do this? I'll do that. You need me to head up life groups? I'll head up life groups. That's awesome. That's awesome. But much of the church Right? God didn't build you for that, son. See, there's a lot of people. We're not talking about heaven and hell this morning, guys. We're talking about God changing you and God evolving you in your pursuit of Him and in how you're impacting the world. And what was okay last year is not okay today. You just turned 16. I could get you and Hannah both on this. You just turned 16. With that came some awesome privileges because I see you riding around Hiram now with boys all the time when I go down to 80 Huey Lewis. I'm just kidding. I really don't. T.W. said, you better not. But she's driving now. Awesome, awesome, awesome privilege. You're not to be, and it's good freedom, isn't it? I mean, don't you go ahead and admit it. I know you like it. You can drive out to our house and you hadn't got a, you have anybody to bring you or anything like that. And all. But with that, all of a sudden, your mom and dad have a heightened expectation of your responsibility. Awesome privilege, but don't y'all have a heightened expectation of responsibility? Why? Because she's in a new place of maturity. She's in a new place of potential, but she's also in a new place of potential danger and all of those things. So you have a higher expectation level for her. She is evolving, if you will, and I'll keep using this word, she's evolving into a young woman. But now you expect more out of her than you do Rylan. I mean, Rylan's a great kid, but Rylan's Rylan. And when Rylan gets 16, you'll have the same expectation level for him. A similar expectation, maybe more so. He's a guy, and they get into more trouble. Why do we think the kingdom's any different? God will start viewing you and you and you and you and you and me and Gordon and everybody else, and He'll start saying, okay, now you've got this new level of privilege. Now you've got this new level of this. You've got this new level of that. So I have a different expectation level of responsibility for you. I want you to steward things now because you have things to steward. I've got a greater expectation. And if we want to go to the next level, you know what, some of the next level? It's the thing of the talents, guys. And you can walk around and you can bury one because you know how God is and all of that stuff. And you can live a life of rejection from Him. I'm amazed everybody thinks God is cool with their inactivity. Everywhere I study in the Scripture, when you got somebody taking their talent and sliding under a rock because they knew how the master was, He don't come in and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They get a real serious rebuke. And He takes their talent and He gives it to somebody else. I just don't want God pulling all of this stuff and saying, well, if you got out there and got stupid next week and you got a DUI and all of that stuff, I guarantee you, you know what's going to happen with your car? It's going to get parked. It might get parked until Rylan turns 16. It's going to get parked for a while, though, right? And so, we think that I can come in and just live this going through the motion or this life and all that, and God's going to be great with that. And I don't see it anywhere in the Word. And we wonder why we don't advance, and I know why we don't advance, brother. Real quickly, I've got to close this up. Doggone, I didn't get anywhere I wanted to teach this morning. Real quickly, did I ask y'all to go to Luke 10? I'm just going to paraphrase this. Luke 10, you know what's going on? Jesus is coming in with a relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they invite Him into their home. and they're doing a meal for him, and they come in, and you see Martha making sandwiches. I will use this term. She might be cooking a 5-course meal, but I'll say this: she's doing sandwiches for everybody, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha gets real frustrated, and she says, "Lord, I'm busy about all this stuff, and my wife's sitting there, or my sister's sitting here, and she's just sitting at your feet. What's up with this? Rebuke her for me, because I need some help in the kitchen." And Jesus comes in, and he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about all of these things, but Mary's chosen the better thing, and that's sitting at my feet." And he applauds Mary. He doesn't rebuke Mary, he applauds Mary. But fast forward to John 12. You know what happens in Mary's journey of faith? It's somewhere along this way, she stops from being one that just sits at Jesus' feet to being someone that's actually ministering to Jesus. Because in John 12, you've got all of these amazing characters that are sitting around the table. And Lazarus is there that Jesus raised from the dead. Mary's there. Martha's there. The disciples there. All of these key figures are there. It is the week before the trial and the crucifixion and the Last Supper and all of these things. I mean, it's like the days before. All of this heavyweight stuff's coming down the pike. Y'all know what Martha's doing? Same thing she was doing in Luke 10. And Jesus didn't rebuke her. She just don't get mentioned. She gets left out of the story. And I don't believe that God's going to go through our churches and necessarily rebuke everybody. No, if you want to live a life of mediocrity, you know what? God's not necessarily going to get up in your business and whack you bad. You're just going to get left out of the story. You know what Mary does? She evolves from sitting at His feet and getting fed to a place where she has pre-purposed in her mind that I'm going to bring this alabaster box filled with all of these expensive ointments, and I'm going to break it, and I'm going to anoint Jesus and lavish over Jesus and all that. And Jesus said, she has done it for the purpose of my anointing me for my burial. So well, somewhere along the way in this evolving life, of her faith journey, God gives her permission to understand that I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to go to the grave, and I'm going to be resurrected. He told him, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. She's like, Lord, I know. She really knew. I don't know that Martha really hates. She really knew. She knew in that moment. He didn't rebuke Martha, but Mary's story is told. Martha just gets left out of the story. Randy, I don't want to get left out of the story. When God's weaving this amazing tapestry, not just of Victory Fellowship, but of life in this area, I want to be in that story. Not that so that people will sing my accolades, but so that He can look and say, have you considered my servant Job? What does a Christian look like? Well, let me tell you about Brad House. Let me tell you about Nick White. Let me tell you about Chris Meacham. She didn't get left out of the story. She was the story. He said, wherever this gospel is preached, wherever this gospel is preached, this story will be told as a memorial to her. And so when we look at John 12, we're not sitting here saying, man, Jesus is going to go on triumphal entry into the city tomorrow, and then He's going to do this and this and this. When we look at John 12, you know what we think about? We think about Mary's sacrifice in ministering to Him. Ain't nobody finding out what sandwiches we ate. I love good meal, and I love good food, and I love being a good host. But there's some things that so trump what's on the menu. I'll be honest with you, there were servants that could have prepared food instead of Martha. And we get hung up in things that... We get hung up in things that we should have progressed out of by now. Now, I'll still go back and I'll keep that nursery. There's nothing that is beneath me. But sometimes God calls us into a higher place of calling. I don't mind cleaning the toilet. I go through after services a lot of time. Here's everyone. We'll go through service after services, and we'll flush the toilets that the little boys don't flush the pee-pee out of and all of that stuff. We'll do that stuff. And we'll pick up, and we'll clean, and we'll do this. Errol's in here cleaning on Mondays and all of that, so it ain't terrible when y'all get in here on, you know, Thursdays or Fridays or Saturdays. So there's nothing that is beneath us. Randy used to scold me. He'd come out the shop. I'd be back there on the big wheel on something. He's like, dude, can't you hire somebody to do this? And there was a reason you said that, because you said there's something more important and significant than you can be doing instead of flat wheel and an oven handle. I'm finally starting to get that through my head. See, we have this mindset, nobody do it like I can do it. Well, you may cut your teeth on making sandwiches, but you shouldn't live there the rest of your life. God wants to grow you. God wants to evolve you. There should be a pursuit within you for what God said over you. There should be a pursuit in you to discover and to evolve into what God said over you. There should be a pursuit in you. And Mary tapped into this. And because she tapped into this, you know what? He gave her permission to see stuff that others didn't see. And I want to tell you, man, we go around and we get jealous sometimes about other people, and they say, well, they're having these encounters with God, and they're not any better than I am, and I'm just mad at God, and all of this and all this. Maybe God's given them permission to see things because their pursuit is more than yours. Their pursuit's more than yours. You see stuff in wrestling that I don't see. Because your pursuit of being excellent in that field has given you permission to see those things. Brent sees things I don't see. You know, I just look out there and say, man, that cat's mauling that other dude. But you see all the technique and you see all of this and this. And you're like, man, he's strong, but there's a kid with better technique that'll beat him. And that pursuit has given you permission to see that. And when we get to that place in our spiritual life, our pursuit will give us permission to hear things. Our pursuit will give us permission to hear things. Sometimes when we're having an adult conversation, you know what we do? We have to, our grandkids, other than Sydney Hannah, but Caroline and some of them, we can still, and it ain't coming far, we can still spell stuff. Y'all ever do that with your kids or grandkids? And you spell stuff, and they don't understand what you're spelling because they don't have permission to hear what you're talking about. When they get older, you know what you do? You just dismiss them from the room. Y'all go play somewhere because we need to talk adult talk. Some of y'all are frustrated, and some of us are frustrated. And you know why we get frustrated sometimes? It's because God is spelling stuff that we can't understand. But they're those that are hearing it. Right now, everybody doesn't have permission to hear what I'm saying. These last three or four pages in this notebook, Linda, some of the most profound stuff that the Lord has ever spoke to me and revealed me. And maybe I do a poor job communicating. I'm praying to be a better communicator because I want y'all to get this. Because this is the most profound stuff that He has ever spoke to me. But some of you are not getting it because just flat out you don't have permission to hear it. And I don't mean that as an offensive statement. I just mean to change your pursuit so that you start having permission. There's sometimes I'll try to pick up a book and start reading a book, and it does absolutely nothing for me, and I'll put it down, and I'll pick that same book up 6 months or 9 months or a year later, and it rocks my world. Why did it not rock my world 9 months ago? You're shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Why did it not rock my world 9 months ago? Because I didn't have permission to hear what it said. But when my pursuit got me at a place that God had to stop spelling stuff out and could plainly speak it, then I could receive it. Can I get amen from anybody? That's how our life of true worship evolving into a life of true worship. In Luke 9, I applaud Mary. But in John 12, that same expression of worship would have been rejected by Christ. In John 12, now look at this, and y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. Worship team, y'all come on up. That makes everybody feel good. Y'all please stay engaged. This is important. In John 12, everybody at that table was doing what Mary did in Luke 9. Think about it. Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Was there any doubt that he was God? No doubt that he was God. Lazarus was living proof. And they're sitting around a table and they're having a meal. And every one of these cats is sitting here saying, man, this is awesome. I'm in the presence of God. They were doing what Mary did in Luke 9. But none of that was considered worship in John 12. You know what was considered worship in John 12? What Mary did. Because when she did it, even the disciples, what did they start saying? All of these guys are sitting here saying, I am in the presence of God. I'm sitting next to Lazarus and I saw him come out of the tomb. I know he'd been in there for 4 days. Saw him come out. I'm in the presence of God. But as soon as Mary started worshiping him the way that she started worshiping him, you know what they started doing? They started doing saying, well, this is a waste. This is a waste. Why is she going to that extreme? Could not we have taken this stuff and sold it? And given the money to the poor? That's what they were saying. Because they didn't have permission to see a heightened level of worship. Because they were still stuck in this dimension. And I don't want to get caught up in that, guys. I don't want to get caught up in that. If you guys come to my house and I invite you over for a dinner meal, Carter is great with a grilled cheese sandwich. But do you really think I'm going to bring that out to you guys? If I did, y'all would go away and say, yeah, I enjoyed the evening, but golly, I thought he was a foodie. See what I'm saying in this? I don't want to get caught up in a level of worship or a level of sacrifice that's here when what is accepted should be way up here. So in your life right now, this is the altar call in your life right now. How is your faith journey evolving? Because what was good from you a year ago is probably not what God expects today. So don't come in and say, man, I want to get back to this place. Say, I want to get to that place. Don't say, I want to get back here. Say, I want to get to here. That was good. There's something more that's required now. If you don't want to spend your whole life and God's spelling words around you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. I want to live in a place where he's like, yes. Yes, look at this thing evolve. And I know what sacrifice is required now. Because that's the story of Jesus. I only do what I've seen my Father do. Hear what I've heard my Father say. He had permission to see. He had permission to hear. Therefore, he could respond appropriately. Where are you at in this thing? Where are you at in this thing? Where are you at in this thing? Man. I don't know if it strikes a chord with anybody but me. This challenges me. Literally, this challenges me. Man. I don't want average. I don't want mediocre. I want extraordinary. God created me to be extraordinary, and He created you to be extraordinary. What kind of life will you live? How many times will you strike the arrows, Nick? Three times? Or will you beat them into a fury? Beat them into a place where the prophet has to say, whoa, man, I hadn't seen faith like this. You know the story. Hezekiah. Oh, man. You need to move. Just start moving. Don't wait for some magic crescendo or some magic moment. If your life has looked like more like mediocrity and less like extraordinary, then you need to move this morning. You need to move. If it has looked more like mediocrity and less like extraordinary, and that's a relative statement because that's always a moving target. But if that's the case, you need to move this morning. You need to move toward Him. You need to move toward Him. I promise you, you weren't built for mediocrity. You aren't His masterpiece, so you'll be mediocrity. You're His masterpiece for greatness.